Traditional revenue sources for public media and really the media at large are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Let's talk supply and demand with the maker of Ozempic. Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. Live from the BBC World Service, I'm Leanna Byrne. Thanks for joining us.
You look great. Everybody looks so great. When I look around this room, I can't help but wonder, is Ozempic right for me?
That was Jimmy Kimmel at the Oscars with a joke about one of the most well-known drugs in the world, Ozempic. In a BBC exclusive interview, the company that makes it, Novo Nordisk, said it's limiting its global rollout of its weight loss drug, Wegovy, because of the high demand in the US. I asked its chief financial officer, Carsten Knudsen, what he thinks about it all.
It's something we have a lot of conversations about, and it's also something that is a little bit new for us as a company. In terms of pharmaceutical intervention and efficacious and safe treatments for obesity, that does not really exist until not too many years back. So now we are there with semaglutide, and it makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. And that's why we see this unprecedented step up in demand.
Yeah. I mean, are you worried that that demand is entirely for people that actually need the drugs, that some doctors aren't prescribing them very easily to people? I mean, do you have a duty to make sure that that's not happening, that people aren't just taking them for vanity reasons?
How we bring our products to market and how they're being used in the market, that's something we take very serious. And in this context, it's very important for me to say that Wegovy is for overweight and Ozempic is for type 2 diabetes. And that's where all our communication efforts and commercial efforts, they go on really educating physicians and patient organizations around the appropriate use of our products.
A lot of patients in the US, they've had difficulty getting their prescriptions filled because of those shortages, because it is in such high demand. Well, what's the status of supply for the US right now?
Ozempic is the world's best-selling diabetes care product today, and it's still growing 59%. So that puts a lot of pressure on us as a company to continue to scale our manufacturing setup. This is not about problems in or issues in manufacturing. This is purely about scaling to a very significant demand. And we are constrained in a number of markets for that specific reason.
Yeah, I mean, how are you going to fix that? That seems like a pretty tough problem.
The fix is really a lot of hard work, first of all, in manufacturing. So this year, we're investing to the tune of 25 billion DKK in CapEx for expanding our manufacturing sites. We are hiring thousands of employees, both to build new factories and operate the ones we have. So we're running all shifts. We're very careful about not doing the classic pharmaceutical full-speed global launch across all markets, but only actually doing very limited launches outside the US, first of all. And linked to that, then we are simply restricting the number of the starter doses we're supplying into the market. It's not fun, but this is to enable continuity of care of the patient starting on Wegovy.
Carsten, thank you so much for joining us on Marketplace.
Thank you for hosting me.
Now let's do the numbers. Russia's central bank has hiked interest rates by 3.5% to 12%, and India's inflation in July rose to its highest in 15 months to just under 7%, up from just under 5% the month before. And the United Nations is warning there's a huge shortfall in funding that could lead to the collapse of Afghanistan's health system and cause widespread hunger. It's 2 years exactly since the Taliban took over. Khalid Noor was among those who fled and founded the country's National Resistance Council.
Businesses are collapsing. Unemployment is at its highest. Majority of people do not have enough food to eat. And the Taliban are not able, or they are not focused on helping the people. They are very much focused on their internal affairs rather than the needs of the people. It's getting quite bad every single day.
Khalid Noor there. There's been a lot of focus on the Taliban's treatment of women since they swept to power. Many still find themselves unable to work or get an education because of the repressive conditions. The BBC has been speaking to some of them.
Good morning. I'm Karima Katai. I'm an Afghan cloth designer, and you're hearing my voice from Kabul. This is one of the few businesses an Afghan woman can have in the current situation in Afghanistan, as there are a lot of restrictions on women.
I was working as a finance officer in one of the offices before the Taliban banned women from work. We are not allowed to go to the office, but I work from home for 2 to 3 hours daily.
When Kabul fell and Taliban took power, they installed billboards and banners with burqa and hijab pictures on them to push women to wear burqa and hijab. They closed parks, tourist places, beauty salons, universities and schools for women.
The cruise ship business was hammered during COVID, but it's making a comeback with specialty cruises at the heart of the recovery. American passengers account for 50% of global revenue. The BBC's James Graham has hopped on board the legendary Blues Cruise in the Caribbean.
Hey everybody, cruisers. Check your schedule, make sure you see the bands you've missed and see someone you've never seen before.
Cruise ship passengers are back on board and sailing the high seas after a few lean years. Shares in some of the biggest operators have surged this year, and one company seeing strong demand is the legendary Rhythm and Blues Cruise.
This is our 38th cruise. We're doing 2 a year. Yeah, we do one in the fall and one in the dead of winter.
Blues industry veteran Roger Naber runs the cruise.
We have a huge returning rate, typically about 80% returning rate.
Several thousand passengers have paid up to $5,000 for the week-long Caribbean voyage, featuring dozens of blues performers. And themed cruises are now playing a big part in the future of the cruise industry, according to Simon Calder, travel correspondent at the UK's Independent newspaper.
I think the cruise industry, which has been through an absolutely unspeakably awful time during COVID, is seeing the specialty cruise as something which is going to turn its fortunes around.
Well, we've heard from the Blues Cruise, but there are plenty of other themes.
Star Wars or wildlife. But there's also a huge demand for 1980s pop and rock bands. And then there are the big events, such as conventions of science fiction fans.
Everybody feeling all right?
Tommy Castro and the Painkillers featuring Deanna Bogart.
And for some musicians, a booking on these cruises can really put wind in their sails.
It's done wonders for my career. I didn't get my first nomination for a Blues Music Award until I started performing on the Blues Cruise. And I don't think that's a coincidence. The right people get to see you here.
I'm the BBC's James Graham for Marketplace.
And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. Alex Bell, he was producing today. And I'm Leanna Byrne. I'm with the Marketplace Morning Report. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.